Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Move, I'm coming right through you.
It's like inch by inch and step by step. I'm closing in on your
mingle with together, which got the neighborhood superhero. Ultimate pain upon the brain, untamed. You will like it when I change into a tight strain. Make low maniacal, monster in the game. And I got my eye on you, dead shot aim. My free throws keep coming down like rain. You feeling me, I'm feeling you, the monster bang. I'm telling you, pass me the rock, now I'm headed to the basket. Get up on my way, it's what you better do. My tactics is unsportsmanlike conduct, you better ask it. Don't get no better than this. You catch my drift, you get stripped by ball, endless rule by swag hammer. Danger, you dealing with official hoop bangers. With hang time, like a coat hanger. Jump with thunderous 360 degree tight dunks. What up, Doc? The monster funk. Lightning strikes, the court lights get dim. Supreme competition is about to begin. Above the rim, finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ball in, I can't be deflated. A rugged ball, my monsters is getting money. When clicks hit the bugging, I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business, the best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud brings darkness up above. You in it for the money or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay. Lounging in the mothership back around my way. A 28 light years old. It's the rap, it's political. Triple like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monster, drop a place of fluid, so pretty slow.
Topics in sports, scores, news, statistics, just about the whole nine. Now, I'd like to start off tonight's particular episode by saying congratulations to President Barack Obama once again for winning last night's election. And I got to say, being up all day and being active and being involved in the elections and voting and stuff like that was just phenomenal. It was a great experience once again. That had been so long, so I had to get readjusted to voting again and kind of understanding the basics that came with being in line for about a couple hours and heading up to the booth to fill out the dots or check marks or however you did it, because we all did it differently. But it was great, and it was all well worth it. So I want to say congratulations to everybody who voted out there. You did great. You did great, and because of you, Obama will now be beginning his second term up until 2016, and his second term will kick off in January. So he's got time to kind of kick it a little bit. I guess you could say that, you know. But, again, congratulations to him. It was just great. To everyone who endorsed him, congratulations to you, too. Your contributions have paid off tremendously. Not getting off to sports, like I said, tonight I've been putting this out on Facebook. We got a lot to cover. As usual, a lot of big things are happening in sports. We got some games going on in progress tonight, some games in the NBA. The NCAA basketball season, the preseason is kicking off. So we have some games that have been in progress, some games that may be in progress tonight. So it's that time. It's that time. The year's going by so fast. It felt like March Madness just ended, and March Madness is only going to be a few months away from now. Ain't it ridiculous? This year has gone by so quickly, especially in sports if you think about it. We just had the Super Bowl play, the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup, the World Series just came and went, and all this stuff is going to be starting up again within the next year. So good luck to all your teams down the stretch as we get into my favorite time of the year in sports. We're in the middle of the football season in the NFL. NCAA football, that's already been kicking off to high gear. The NBA season just kicked off. We're a couple weeks into the season now. And the MLB will be starting back again. So never fear, baseball fans. Your season will be back, granted. I like to take this opportunity again to start this particular show off by putting out there some notable things that happened on this particular day. This is going to be a new set that I'm going to start doing from here on out. Today is November the 7th, and I want to say a lot of interesting things happened on this particular day in the history of sports. First of all, let's go back to 1936, where the New York Americans beat Toronto in the first coast-to-coast radio broadcast of a hockey game in Canada. So congratulations to the New York Americans back then. 1962, Glenn Hall set an NHL record when he played in his 503rd consecutive game as a goalie. That's a lot of games, folks. People don't understand. That is a lot of games, and a lot of games be playing in a row. So congrats. That was an incredible accomplishment. That meant a big deal back then, and it still means a big deal today. Elston Howard of the New York Yankees, this was in 1963, became the first black player to be named the American League's most valuable player. Now, as an African-American, I am honored. To me, that is a very big deal. And to all the African-Americans out there, you should feel privileged because of that, too, because that's a big deal. People don't know how difficult it was to play back in that particular era, in those years, to be accepted in professional sports. Jackie Robinson, Dick Knight, Trey Lane, those guys, Marion Motley, Jim Brown, they all went through it. So I want to tip my hat up to those guys, to the ones who are still here and the ones who are no longer here. That's a very big accomplishment. 2 years later, 1965, quarterback Bart Starr, the Green Bay Packers, was sacked then a record 11 times by the Detroit Lions. I believe the Detroit Lions won that game. I think they beat Green Bay, who was undefeated at that time, going into that Thanksgiving matchup. I think it was that year. But 11 sacks, that's a lot. Now, of course, that record has been broken. The New York Giants did it a few years ago to the Philadelphia Eagles. 12 sacks in that particular game. That's a lot. That's a lot. 1968, Red Berenson of the St. Louis Blues scored 6 goals in a game against the Philadelphia Flyers. The Blues won that game by a score of 8-0. 1973, New Jersey became the first U.S. Senate to permit girls to play on Little League baseball teams. That's a big deal, too, by the way. That's a very big deal. So, females, it just goes to show, if you stay to your dreams, if you stay the course, you can accomplish anything and everything in sports. Like the young gymnast this year, she just was phenomenal, just so phenomenal. You can always believe in yourself by doing the right things and staying true to yourself and your athleticism. In 1988, Sugar Ray Leonard, boxer Sugar Ray Leonard, knocked out Donnie Lalonde. I can't recall much of that fight because that was a little bit after my time, and I didn't start watching boxing until maybe 1992, 1993. But Sugar Ray Leonard was big. He was big. He was a big boxer in terms of his popularity and how great he was in the ring, and he was quite a colorful character, quite a colorful character, and I was a big fan of him. 1991, and this is actually some sad news a little bit. It happened back then, but it was sad, very sad at that time. Magic Johnson announced that he had tested positive for AIDS. and that he was retiring from baseball. Of course, he came back to take place in the All-Star game in 1992 and had a phenomenal performance. He was just great. I had the pleasure of watching that game. That was actually the first NBA All-Star game I had ever watched, the 1992 NBA All-Star game, and it was a great one. It was one to remember. 1992, the Phoenix Suns played their first game at American West Arena and will play many more games there for many more years to come. And in 1999, Tiger Woods became the first golfer since Ben Hogan in 1953 to win four straight tournaments. So congratulations to all those guys who had those accomplishments all those years on this particular day, and may many more come in the future, November the 7th. So I wanted to put that out there and, you know, just congratulate those guys on what they were able to do. Now, as you know, we also have some sports birthdays, and this is something I've also been doing. So first of all, getting off to the first birthday, I want to say happy 63rd birthday to Buck Martinez, who's a former Major League Baseball catcher and manager, and he's currently the television play-by-play announcer for the Toronto Blue Jays. He played 17 seasons in the majors with the Blue Jays, the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Kansas City Royals. He had quite an interesting career to him because of not only his ball-playing career, but also his broadcasting career, and he also has experience as a manager. He actually managed the Toronto Blue Jays in years 2001 and 2002. In his first year, he went 80-82 with the ball club, finished third in his division. The following year, the same thing. But he was 20-33 before getting relieved of his duties. But nonetheless, happy 63rd birthday to him and to all of his accomplishments that he had done as far as the tone that he set for the ball club, because he has such great ties to the history of the Toronto Blue Jays and for everything that he has done for that ball club, despite not being a great manager, but he was a solid baseball player. And again, happy birthday to you. He's no longer here with us, but happy birthday to Tony Jackson. He passed away on October 28, 2005. He was a professional basketball player. He was born in Brooklyn. He played on St. John's University from 1958 to 1961. He was a pretty solid player. His career came to an end, like I said, in 2005. He died of cancer. He was best known for scoring 53 points in a game, in an ABL game on March 14, 1962. He was also indicted into the 1962 NCAA basketball point-shaving scandals alongside Connie Hawkins, Doug Moore, and Roger Brown. That involved Jack Molinas, and they were banned from the NBA for life by the then NBA commissioner, Walter Kennedy. He actually participated in the 1968 ABA All-Star game and holds the record for free throws in a single game with 42. So I want to say congratulations to that particular accomplishment. And happy birthday to them, to him. But his career came to a tragic end just 7 years ago. Happy 32nd birthday to LaCharles Bentley, who is a former American college and professional football player who was a center in the NFL for six seasons. He played college ball at Ohio State. He was drafted in the year 2002. He's a second-round pick, number 44th overall. He was drafted by the New Orleans Saints. He played there for a few years. He also played in Cleveland for a couple seasons as well. He didn't play a lot of years, obviously. He only spent 6 years. But I guess you could say he was a guy that, you know, he played in 57 games. He started all 57 of them, but he never had any big accomplishments. Those Saints teams that he played on at that time were kind of getting into their groove a little bit and working their way up as an elite team a little bit, just a little bit. Unfortunately, his time with the team came to an end in 2005, just a year before they drafted Reggie Bush. They brought in Drew Brees as a free agent, and Sean Payton took over the head coaching duties. I'm going to get more information on Sean Payton in, later on in the broadcast. But nonetheless, happy birthday to LaCharles Bentley. His career only lasted six seasons. But, you know, again, happy birthday. And, you know, I want to be one of those guys that acknowledges people like that. So Happy 32nd birthday to you, and good luck in all your future endeavors. Happy 34th birthday to Anthony Thomas, Michigan's own Anthony Thomas, who is also a former American football player. He played 7 seasons in the NFL, most known for playing at the University of Michigan. And he was such a great back at the time. I had the pleasure of watching him during those years. He was just a phenomenal athlete. He was drafted in 2001 by the Chicago Bears, and at that time he was best known for being part of a Bears team that got off to a great start, finished the year 13-3 before getting booted out of their only playoff appearance by Philadelphia, but he was a big part of their regular season success. He also played on the Buffalo Bills. He played 1 year in Dallas, 1 year in New Orleans, kind of bounced around those two teams a little bit. Played a couple seasons in Buffalo from 2006 to 2007. Again, he had reached 1,183 rushing yards the year he was drafted and became the NFL Rookie of the Year. He basically got booted out of Chicago in favor of Thomas Jones, who signed with the Cowboys in 2005. But in limited duty, he never really got a chance to really live up to the hype. A lot of people expected big things out of him, and after his rookie season, he never really got a chance to do much for the duration of his career. But he ranks second in a history of he ranked second in Michigan school history in rush yards in a single season by rushing for 1,733 yards in the year 2000. Tembi Akwetuka still holds the record in Michigan history with 1,818 net yards. Jamie Morris, Chris Perry, and Mike Hart come in third, fourth, and fifth place on that list. So, again, happy birthday to him. And it's just unfortunate that I never got a chance, or any of us for that matter, got a chance to really see him live up to expectations. But for what it's worth, he was a great running back at the University of Michigan, and he was okay back at in the NFL level, particularly after his rookie season. And a happy 36th birthday to, and I hope I'm saying his name right, Mark Philippoussis. He was a former Australian tennis player. He turned professional in 1994. He won 11 career titles, 1996, 1999, 2000, and 2004 at the Australian Open, 97 and 2000 the French Open, 2003 in Wimbledon, and 1998 at the U.S. Open. And he also won in the 1996 and 2000 Olympic tournaments as well. He had a career record of 98 and 72, 3 career titles. His highest ranking ever was number 18th, which was in August of 1997. So happy birthday to him, and congrats to all of his accomplishments throughout his career in the history of tennis. And some of those guys don't always get enough credit, and I want to take the opportunity to acknowledge those guys who always didn't get a lot of credit for doing what they did and, just being who they were and doing what they did and things of that nature. So I just got to say congratulations to those guys. And they don't always get enough credit that they deserve. And it's unfortunate, but what can you do, but still give these guys all the credit in the world and, acknowledge who they were and what they did and respect what they brought to the game. And that's something that I've learned to do over the years. I didn't always watch tennis, but, when I got a chance to catch the highlights on ESPN, I respected it. So, again, congratulations to all those guys who have set the tone for tennis today and being able to do what they've done. So, again, congratulations to those guys. We got some sad news to pass along coming out of the NCAA. He was a former coach at the University of Texas. His name was Darrell Royal. He passed away today at the age of 88. He won 3 national championships at Texas, and he won 11 Southwest Conference titles. He coached 23 seasons, 20 of them at the University of Texas, and never ever had a losing record. That is a great accomplishment to have. Anytime you go a whole college career without ever having a losing record in 23 career seasons you coached, I got to do nothing but tip my hat off to you because I think that's phenomenal. So, again, congratulations to him and congratulations to all of his past accomplishments. And rest in peace. My prayers go out to him and his family at this time. And another thing, he was also a former player. He played at the University of Oklahoma. He was a quarterback and a defensive back. He was born out of Oklahoma, so he's got ties to the history of Oklahoma as well. So basically, his coaching career consisted at 1950 as an assistant at NC State, 1951 an assistant at Tulsa. 1952, he was the offensive backs coach at University of Mississippi State. He also coached the Edmonton Eskimos, came back again to Mississippi State in 1954-1955. He coached at Washington, and then when he took over in Texas in 1957 is when he pretty much had the best moments of his coaching career. And like I said, he won 3 championships, and he was a 2-time Eddie Robinson Coach of the Year in 1961 and 1963, a 2-time AFCA Coach of the Year in 63 and 70, 2-time Sporting News College Football Coach of the Year in 63 and 69. He was the Paul Bear Bryant Lifetime Achievement Award winner in 2000, and just a couple years ago, he was the Amos Alonzo Stagg Award winner. So again, my prayers go out to him and his family at this time. His coaching career, he finished with a record of 184-60-5. And I'm just looking at his coaching career. This guy was just phenomenal. Again, he never had a losing season. His worst record ever was his final year at Texas when he was 5-5-1. So you add all that up, he never finished lower than 50% coaching in a season in terms of his record, wins, losses, and even ties. So, again, congratulations to him and congratulations to all of his past accomplishments. And, again, my prayers go out to him and his family at this time. And, again, it's a sad loss for sports. And we have to take the time to acknowledge these guys who have set the tone, guys who are legends in their own way. They may not be legends and icons across the globe, but they were respected, they were loved, and they were appreciated during their particular coaching times and playing times and management times with the particular teams and respective organizations and companies that they took over. We as individuals need to respect those guys for what they did. And I got nothing but respect for these guys for their accomplishments because I think what they have done has been truly phenomenal, and I'm very happy for what these guys are able to do. So, again, my prayers go out to him and his family, to Daryl Royal. Rest in peace. May God bless you. And, again, take care of yourself. I also want to pass along another set of sad news. It's got nothing to do with sports, but this goes out to a friend of mine who I've had the pleasure of knowing for a few years. She was such a sweetheart. Her name was Chyna Whitten. She was such a sweetheart. I loved her to death. She was such a great person. I've had the pleasure of hanging out with her. I've gone to parties with her at lounges, you know, just hanging out with her. She was just such great company. She was such a wonderful individual. I just found out today that she had passed away, and I paid respect to her on her Facebook page. I was shocked. I still am shocked. I couldn't believe it. Like, wow, that's the first person outside my family that I was that I had knew a little well that had passed on. I'm just taken back by that. That was just completely shocking to me. But just to see everybody go on her page and pay respects to her like that and pay tribute and wish her the best was just wonderful. My prayers go out to her and her family as well. I think one of her relatives also passed away too. I think her cause of death was pneumonia, so I'm not really too sure about the details. But nonetheless, my prayers go out to you, my friend, and you always have a place in this heart of mine. Love you to death. I miss the conversations that we've had. We've had some great conversations together. So may God bless your family and you in heaven, and that you are watching us from above, and I hope to bump into you up there again one day. Moving on now to sports talk, and again, like I said, we got a lot to cover tonight. The time is 7:30. This is it. This is it. The call-in number is 347-327-9586. Again, that's 347-327-9586. I'm on air up until 9 o'clock, so come along and kick it with Rocket. He's going to bring it to you and bring it to you straight out the box. That's what he does, and that's what he does best in all that he accomplishes. So check this out. We got one game in the NBA that's already in progress. The Phoenix Suns are leading the Charlotte Bobcats 26-14 with just a few minutes left to play in the first quarter. We also got some other notable games that are going to be taking place. Some games getting ready to start now. Washington and Boston, that's getting ready to tip off in just a few moments. Indiana and Atlanta, same thing. And Brooklyn and Miami, I think that's the game that everybody's looking forward to seeing. Basically, you got Brooklyn's big three against Miami's big three, so everybody's looking forward to that game. And if you're a big NBA fan like I am, that's a game that if you got a chance to watch it, check it out. Check it out. We also got Denver and Houston. Denver has been on the roll in terms of scoring. Their offense has just been incredible. They got their first win, however. They got their first win against my Detroit Pistons just last night. The Pistons are still winless. Tomorrow night they'll be in town. Well, actually, they're playing tonight, later on tonight, in Sacramento. They're still in the midst of their West Coast road trip, and it's so tough right now because they've already lost to L.A. They lost to L.A. team who got their first win against the Pistons. They lost to the Nuggets team last night who got their first win against the Pistons. And tonight they're playing in Sacramento. They also got road tilts coming up against OKC in Houston, the team that beat them in the first game of the season, their first game of the season. And they also had a loss to Phoenix, which was the first game of their road trip. And then they come back home to face the Thunder. So that's not going to be an easy task as well. So unfortunate, but, you know, what can you say? My other team, the Los Angeles Lakers, well, what can I say? I'm still standing by them. Tonight they're in Utah. That's a game that they should win. Hopefully they will take care of business. They're still without Steve Nash, who is out for the rest of this week with his leg injury. He'll be back in the lineup expectedly by this Sunday. So, Lakers fans, don't panic. He'll be back pretty soon, and these guys will hopefully get a chance to gel as the season goes along. We also got other games coming up tonight, Orlando and Minnesota, Memphis and Milwaukee, Philadelphia and New Orleans, Toronto and Dallas, Golden State and Cleveland, and San Antonio and the Clippers. And that game will be on ESPN. Philadelphia, the Philadelphia New Orleans game will also be on ESPN. That's coming on at 8 o'clock. The Clippers and Spurs game comes on at 10:30. So, folks, for the you get a chance to see Anthony Davis up close and personal tonight as he goes up against the Philadelphia team that will be without Andrew Bynum for God knows how long. We don't really know. We don't really know. They're saying it's day-to-day. According to their front office, they're saying that they're taking it one day at a time. So we'll see. It doesn't look like he'll be back by this week anyway. And who knows, he might not be back until 2013. So we will see. Spurs and Clippers game. Spurs and Clippers faced off each other in the second round of the playoffs last year, and it was a memorable series. One particular game was the game where the Spurs came back from being down by 24 points to beat the Clippers. Basically, the Clippers got a dose of their own medicine because in the first round against Memphis last year, they had a notable game where they came back and won, which was actually game one. And they came back and won, and they pretty much took control of the series, and they ended up winning the series mainly because of that game. So good luck to the winners of those games tonight. And hopefully my Lakers will bounce back. Hopefully my Pistons will bounce back. And all the teams that you cheer for, hopefully, will bounce back. And in case you're wondering about the NHL, well, I don't know what to say. I mean, I just think that it's unbelievable how there's not an NHL season. They've already canceled some games leading into this month, the next month. It's just ridiculous right now. The talks are providing some hope, but there's still some issues. The whole thing goes deeper than what it looks like. It's, I don't know. Now, according to Yahoo, by all accounts, the negotiations for a deal to end the lockout, part three, begin to get a little more serious. So, as NHL Players Association Executive Director Donald Fair cautioned, basically fans should not get our shorts in the knot over a couple phone calls and a day after that conversation. There's a lot more to this than what it looks like, and sometimes, you know, it just leads to nothing but talk, nothing but conversating, and nothing being done. Talks are still for the NHL to have a full 82-game regular season. Now, in order for that to happen, they got to get some games played up by next month in order for the season to go through. Now, basically, if they're going to do that, you're going to see hockey teams play at least maybe four games in a week. We're talking back to back to back, you know, maybe three nights in a row just to keep the schedule accord. Now, what I don't understand here is if they're trying to do that, do you expect the Stanley Cup to end by the middle of next summer? Because if you notice, hockey season usually ends before basketball season. NHL season is usually over by April or May, usually around the time when NBA playoffs are kicking into high gear. You're talking about having an 82-game regular season that's going to go into the start of next summer, where basically after that is over, depending on how long these playoff games go, you're talking possibly the NHL season ending in either late June or early July, and then about a couple months later, you got to get ready for the upcoming season, training camp or whatever you got to do, preparations, the off season. It's going to be a short off season for all these teams. So I don't know if they should have a full 82-game season. I think they should do what the NBA sort of did, maybe reduce it to 50 or 60 games. That way it'll give these guys time to talk and negotiate more and work out a deal, because fans want to see some hockey. And I think that it should be that way. I mean, a 482-game season is going to wear out these players. And I can tell you right now, seeing the way those guys play the game on the ice rink, skating and hurting themselves and a lot of physicality that comes along with it, you're talking about players that are going to be physically and mentally and emotionally and even psychologically burned out, period. So I don't know if they should have a full 82-game season, but we shall see how this is going to go along. And, again, I don't know. I don't know. Moving along to college basketball real quickly. I want to say, like I said, the preseason has been kicking off a little bit. As you know, the recruiting is always a big deal in college basketball and in all college sports, period. There's always going to be new diamonds in the rough, guys that sort of come out of nowhere and exceed expectations, guys that step up and, you know, pretty much don't really they basically just come out of nowhere and catch a lot of people by surprise and a lot of guys who you know, they pretty much watch them play and, you know, they really don't know what to expect from a lot of these guys. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm just looking forward to seeing some great basketball, period. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. That's what I'm looking forward to watching. And, again, I can't wait to see what some of these teams are going to do. As far as which players are going to step up, which teams are going to step up, even though Kentucky no longer has Anthony Davis, there's still going to be a team that's going to be reckoned with. And basically, that's what the NCAA College Basketball League is pretty much like. You never know how these players and how these teams are going to come out and just start firing on all cylinders. You really don't know. I'm looking at some of these players right now, and on Yahoo, they got a list of 25 most intriguing ball players for the upcoming season. Now, again, I said that Kentucky is still going to be a force to reckon with, and one of their players, his name is Nerlens Noel, who is a center for the team. They're already labeling him as the next Anthony Davis. Now, he's actually the nation's number one recruit in the class of 2012. He doesn't have Davis' all-around polisher skill, but he can block shots, and he's going to be a key, a major benefactor to the Wildcats' title defense as they defend their championship this upcoming season. Some of the other players are Cody Zellner, who's number one. He's the Indiana center. We'll see what he can do. Peyton Silva from Louisville. We'll see what he can do as well. Shabazz Muhammad from UCLA. C.J. Leslie from North Carolina State. Doug McDermott from Creighton. Ben McLemore from Kansas. Trevor McWee from Minnesota. I hope I said his name right. My apologies if I didn't. Deshaun Thomas from Ohio State. James Michael McAdoo from North Carolina. A lot of people have been talking about him. They're building him up as the next big thing in North Carolina. And when you go to North Carolina, you know expectations are always going to be high. You got to go back to the Michael Jordan days and James Worthy and even later on, guys like Vince Carter, Rasheed Wallace, Jerry Stackhouse. They all went on to become very, very good players and very athletic stars. Some of those guys have won championships. Antoine Jameson, he's another big name who came out of North Carolina, has been known as a prolific scorer. Who's playing on the Lakers roster and should be a big key for them to make another championship run. And many more, even after Kobe's days are over. So we'll see what they do. But there's going to be a lot of expectations with some of these players, so we shall see what they're going to do. Now, I want to say real quickly to all these teams, good luck in your upcoming season. Good luck, because you can always use it, but I'm looking forward to seeing what teams are going to step up because you always can see it. There's always going to be some new teams that kind of come out of nowhere and, you know, pull off a few upsets here and there and generate some media buzz and have people like myself saying, okay, I see what this team is going to be doing this year. So I'm looking forward to talking about some of these teams and seeing what some of these guys can do. It's going to be fun, it's going to be great, and I can't wait to see how this year is going to build up for some of these teams. Moving on to the other sport in college, the NCAA Football League, this upcoming week is already going to have some games going on. We had one game that happened last night. It was a game between Ball State and number 25 Toledo. Ball State pulled off the upset by a score of 34-27. That being said, that loss will take Toledo out of the top 25. Prior to last night's game, they were 8-1, and Ball State was 6-3. But Ball State's been on the road. They've won four straight, and they did this on the road. They actually had a 14-0 lead in the first quarter. They pretty much dominated the game from start to finish, and they never really looked back. So, actually, technically, Toledo tied up the game at 17 at halftime, and then Ball State took the lead again going into the fourth quarter, and then Toledo took the lead. They went up 27-24, and basically Ball State scored the last two scores of the game. They tied it up, and then they scored a game-winning touchdown as Juwan Edwards scored on a 15-yard run. To win the game 34-27. Checking out some of these stats real quickly, Keith Winning from Ball State went 29-42 for 280 yards, three touchdowns. He did throw three interceptions, but he was not sacked. He had a 69 completion percentage with a 134.3 passer rating. Terrence Owens, he barely completed 50% of his passes, but he did throw a touchdown, no interceptions. He didn't turn the ball over. He was sacked a couple times, but he did finish with a 131 passer rating because of those no turnovers. Speaking of Juwan Edwards, he had 16 carries for 105 yards in that game-winning touchdown to lead Ball State. For Toronto, David Flewellen had 34 carries for 200 yards and a touchdown, averaged nearly 6 yards per carry. Terrence Owens, he had 13 carries for 66 yards himself, and Cassius McDowell had 4 carries for 45 yards and a touchdown. In the receiving column, Connor Ryan led Ball State with 7 catches for 88 yards and a touchdown. And Zane Faith caught 8 passes for 66 yards. Jamil Smith caught 4 passes for 29 yards and a couple scores. For Toronto, Bernard Reedy caught 7 passes for 98 yards and a score. The kickers were both automatic for these guys. They only had a combined 4 punts in this game. Scott Covanda only had 1 punt for Ball State, and that was 44 yards. There were no special teams points, but the offenses took care of business for the most part. Ball State just happened to win the game, so congratulations to them. Now, they are 7-3. Will they move up into the top 25? That remains to be seen. You know, when it comes to the BCS poll, you never really know how this whole thing is going to work out. Like I said, Toronto, I think they're going to certainly drop out of the top 25. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. It's a tough loss for them. And anytime you lose a home game, your chances of competing for a big bowl game pretty much flies out the window. Michigan State, unfortunately, is one of them. They've already lost 3 home games, and you know the race for them for being in a big bowl, that's pretty much out of the window. But you know, what can you do? What can you do? Now, we actually have a game coming up tomorrow evening between two teams who I guess you could say, well, one of them, they kind of worked their way back into the whole scenario. Florida State, that is, going up against Virginia Tech. Florida State is ranked number 10, and this is a game they should win. That game takes place at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, we got some interesting matchups, and you always can tell, usually at this point in the season, at this stage, there's always going to be some great matchups. LSU is going to be looking to bounce back from that tough loss at home to Alabama last week. They're going to host number 21, Mississippi State. Now, LSU is number 7. Thankfully and luckily for them, they didn't fall out of the top 10 with that loss. Some of the other notable matchups, we got number 15. Actually, speaking of Alabama, they're number 1. They're going to be hosting number 15, Texas A&M. Number 11, Oregon State. They're going to be going to Stanford, who is ranked number 14th. Some of the other notable games, Michigan is going to be hosting number 24, Northwestern. Number 17, Texas, going to be hosting Iowa State. Number 22, Texas Tech, hosting Kansas. Number 9, Louisville will be going to Syracuse. Number 8, South Carolina hosting Arkansas. Number 23, Rutgers hosting Army. Number 6, Florida hosting L.A. Lafayette. Number 19, USC hosting Arizona State. Number 16, Nebraska will be hosting Penn State. Number 13, Clemson hosting Maryland. Number 12, Oklahoma hosting Baylor. 20th, L.A. Tech will be going to Texas State. Number 2, Kansas State will be going against TCU. Upset alert. Trust me, TCU may not be ranked, but they're still a tough team. And that's the game that if you're Kansas State, you better be not drop your guard in that particular game, because that's going to be a tough it's going to be a tough one, all right. Number 5, Georgia against Auburn. Number 4, Notre Dame will be going against Boston College. That should be an interesting game. Number 3, Oregon against California. And number 18, UCLA against Washington State. So we got some interesting games. And basically, watching the team rankings, the AP poll, the top 10, you got Alabama number 1, Oregon the number 2, Kansas State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Georgia, Florida, Florida State, LSU, and Clemson. Now, for Ohio State, it really doesn't mean anything because of their suspensions and stuff for what they've been going through. They would not be able to compete in a bowl game this year. Now, the USA Today poll, and I'm just going to name the top 10, it's kind of identical to the AP top 25, but I'm going to say them anyway. Alabama, Oregon, Kansas State, Notre Dame, Georgia, Florida State, Florida, Clemson, LSU, and Louisville. So, again, some of these teams are fortunate. LSU are very fortunate that they did not fall out of the top 10. Very fortunate. Very, very fortunate. But they're going to be looking to bounce back from that game, and we will see what they do this weekend. Time is 7:50. The call number is 347-327-9586. We got the NFL coming up. The NFL is such a big deal because we're just coming off of this past week. We got some hot things to talk about. And before I go, I just want to say real quick, I do feel that Alabama deserves to be number one. I talked about this. I promoted it. They deserve to be number one just because they went to LSU and won. How often do you go to LSU and beat them on their turf in front of their fans with their coach, Les Miles? That rarely ever happens. I mean, going to LSU, going to their turf and beating them, I mean, that ranks at the top. And the fact that Alabama was undefeated going into that game and they still lost, come on now, there should be no debate about them being number one, and they deserve it. Now, say what you want about them, say what you want about Nick Saban, but Nick Saban is one of the best college football head coaches out there. He's certainly in the top five as far as I'm concerned. I put Les Miles up there with him in terms of active coaches, but a lot of fans in Florida are kind of bitter about what he did at the in the NFL with the Miami Dolphins, during his two seasons there. And, you know, eventually we forgive and we forget and we move on. But, that kind of hurt the Dolphins a little bit. And I was kind of disappointed in the way that whole situation went down. But say what you want about the man, but he has gotten this Alabama team firing on all cylinders. And this is a team that they could repeat as national champions. So I can't wait until these bowl games. And I'm looking forward to seeing an actual playoff system because I'm getting tired of seeing these bowl games. I want a change in college football, and I'm looking forward to when we do see it. It's going to be fantastic. It'll be better. It'll be great. Best believe. Trust me, it will be great. And you can thank some of us who lobbied for it, who voted for it or whatever, and who've been publicly complaining about it. You can thank us all later. Trust me. You can thank us all later about this. It'll be all worth it. I can promise you that, okay? Seriously. You can thank me later for that. Now, I got to say, I also feel like LSU is a team that's going to be up there competing. Just the whole Ohio State thing, it just kind of takes away from the rankings a little bit. Teams like Georgia and Florida, they should be in talks. To me, when it comes to some of the conferences, you got to say the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, tough divisions with tough teams who are all competing to try and be at the top and be a national champion and get a chance to raise the big trophy. At this stage of the season, you can kind of tell who's going to do what, who's going to be able to do this and who's going to be able to do that and who's going to be able to play in what particular game. Now, that being said, what has to happen is if you're Alabama, you need to continue to stay the course. You got Oregon on your trail, Kansas State's up there, Notre Dame's up there, Georgia, you can make a case live, the Florida and Florida State, Clemson. I'm still going to put LSU out there. I'm going to say Oklahoma, even though they're number 12, you still got to put them out there just for the simple fact that they're still tough. South Carolina, Louisville, even Texas, despite one of their former head coaches passing away, and that can really, really rejuvenate a team and you know take them to even higher standards. So, as far as I'm concerned, I really think that Texas is a team that you're really going to have to look out for the rest of the season, just because of the passing of one of their former all-time great head coaches. Coming up, we're almost at the 8 o'clock hour. Coming up, we've got football, the NFL. Everybody's talking about the Cowboys and Eagles. To me, that say what you want, but that's going to be one of the top matchups of the week, of this upcoming weekend, just for the simple fact that it's do or die. This is a do or die game. Whoever loses this game, you can kiss the playoffs goodbye. And for all we know, neither team might not have a shot at making the postseason, but you never say never. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. We've seen some teams come out of nowhere in the second half of the season and really start turning it up when they need to. So I'm not going to rule out either team until after this weekend. Now, we also got some other matchups coming up, some other interesting matchups this weekend. We got the Lions and Vikings. Detroit will try to avenge an earlier season loss in which they gave up two special teams touchdowns. Since that particular game, their special teams have gotten a little bit better. They haven't been getting up a lot of big returns, and they've been able to kind of protect themselves a little bit. That helps out. When you can't shut down a team on special teams, it hurts. It hurts your defense because you're counting on your defense a whole lot and a little bit too much, which is unfortunate. So we got those games coming up. We got a big game coming up this weekend between the Bears and Texans. That's going to be a great matchup. We also got a game tomorrow night between the surprising Colts hosting the struggling Jaguars, who could play spoiler, and this could be a trap game for the Colts. So stay tuned. We got that coming up and more news to pass along. We also got some NBA games that are just now starting. So stay tuned. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Rocket is in the building. Rocket Nation, get ready for a power trip. Be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. The time is now 8 o'clock. We are at the top of the hour, and we are getting ready to get into one of my favorite segments, which is the NFL. I love talking the NFL around this time of the year, and it's just such a wonderful time. It's a wonderful time. Now, technically, we're approaching the middle of the season. We're about at the midway point, and this is where you really start to see some of the teams really be at their best. You start to see teams bring out the best in their own playing ability, offense, defense, special teams, coaching, and even fan bases. So, like I said, we got a game tomorrow night between the Colts and Jaguars, and I talked about this. I was watching a game between the Colts and Dolphins this past week, and first of all, I can't remember the last time we saw this many quarterbacks, you know, this many rookie quarterbacks. We got about maybe four of them play so well right now. Andrew Luck, RG3, Ryan Tannehill, he's playing well. Russell Wilson, who nobody expected to be the starter, basically because of what the Seahawks did in the offseason by bringing over Matt Flynn from Green Bay. And technically, they were expected to name him the starter, but during the preseason, they changed their minds. And basically, they decided to go in a different direction and put in Russell Wilson. And that's something that Pete Carroll hasn't regretted. He hasn't looked back on it, that's for sure. So, in retrospect, it looks like they made the right move. It looks like they got their guy to build around. But these guys are playing good. And some of the teams are playing well. I mean, it's not like these teams are mathematically out of the playoff race. All of their teams are competing for playoff positions, which I think is phenomenal. And I got to say congratulations to the head coaches, especially the coach of the Indianapolis Colts, Chuck Pagano, who had one of the best post-game speeches in the locker room I have ever seen. I thought that was phenomenal. For a guy who's battling leukemia, who hasn't coached in over a month with the team, probably won't be coaching for the rest of the season, although news reported that he could join the team in week 17. They could be competing for a playoff spot that weekend. So we'll see. They're actually going to be playing the Houston Texans, who are in first place in the AFC South that week. So that'll be the second of their two meetings. The first will be in week 15. But going back to Chuck Pagano, I just felt like it is phenomenal, very phenomenal for them to be playing the way they've been playing. And if you had told me that they would be 5-3 or have a winning record, period, I would have insulted your intelligence. I would have told you flat out, please. I would have told you to go smoke a pipe or something or go back to your drug-dealing ways, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I just think that that's amazing. I just think that it's amazing that this team has overcome leaps and bounds and they've done a lot of these things and they've done so much this year. They've overcome some hurdles. And this is a team that basically wiped out parts of their roster this offseason and going into rebuild mode. Now, that necessarily hasn't been the case because they are playing well and they are protecting home court. They have won 7 of their past 8 home games, including Green Bay, Minnesota, and Miami. 3 tough teams with 3 tough defenses, and the Colts were able to win those games, including the Green Bay game, which they were down 21-3 at the half and came back and won that game. All those games have been close, but they have been playing phenomenal football. And as far as I'm concerned, Andrew Luck has my vote, my number one vote for Offensive Rookie of the Year and Rookie of the Year in general, just because of the way that he's playing right now. And I'm very happy for him. He's been able to stay healthy. And even in some losses, he's had productive moments. I mean, this guy hasn't had a game where he was absolutely pathetic. He has really, really opened up a lot of people's eyes. And I knew he was going to be good, but I did not think that he was going to be playing this well, not this early in his career, where for a rookie quarterback, most rookies taking snap under center usually the time to develop, get accumulated to the system, get adjusted to the sights and surroundings, the coaches, the playbooks, the teammates, you know, the whole nine. For him to be able to come out and do this despite what they had gone through last year and parting ways with Peyton Manning, yes, I think it's phenomenal. I think it's very phenomenal to see the way that they're playing. And I think it's amazing. I think it's very, very amazing, and I could not be more happy for them. Do I think the Colts can make the playoffs? Well, that remains to be seen. They're certainly going to be in the wild card. I don't think that they have a chance to compete for that division because, to me, that division belongs to the Texans. But I do think that they have a certain they certainly have a shot to at least get in a wild card spot. Now, in the AFC playoff picture, you got to look at it in a lot of ways. You got to look at records and strength of schedules and things of that nature. I'm looking at it right now. You got Houston, who's at the top right now. Baltimore, who's a game back. But you have to wonder how much longer will Baltimore be in first place with the injury to Ray Lewis. Can they still hang on without him? Now, they have not lost a division game yet, but they haven't played Pittsburgh yet. And Pittsburgh is coming around amassingly. They have won three straight games. And this is a team that was kind of at the bottom for a little while. They have certainly have gotten better. And they're 3-0 at home. They've won one divisional game that was against Cincinnati. At this stage of the season, I like to have a surprise team, and I like to have a disappointing team from each conference. In the AFC, my biggest surprise has got to be the Colts, by far, because of what they've been able to do. Nobody expected them to play this well, and I'm just amazed at how they've been able to play. It's phenomenal. And it's wonderful for the NFL if you think about it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I got to say, what they have been able to do, it's been wonderful. The words really can't describe it if you think about it, but it's great. It's great. Also, I have to say, in the NFC, my biggest surprise in the NFC, looking at the schedule, well, a lot of people are going to say Atlanta, you know, well, we all knew that Atlanta was going to be a better football team. San Francisco, Chicago, the Giants, the teams leading the divisions, and after the biggest surprises, to me, it's got to be Seattle. I don't think anybody expected Seattle to be this good with their rookie quarterback. You think about their fan base because, you know, on their field, they're known as the 12th man. Those fan bases up there are ridiculous. Ridiculous. If you think about what the Seahawks have gone through throughout the history of their franchise, going back to when they played at the Kingdom and Quest Field, those were two very tough places to play football games that if you were a visitor. Very tough. Very loud. Very thunderous, very ruckus. I mean, you could say the whole nine. It's just ridiculous up there. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just amazed at how well the Seahawks have been able to play. They came off a big win this past weekend over Minnesota. I'm just amazed. Now, that being said, do I think they can make the postseason? Well, let's be honest. If they do, we're all going to look back on one game and one game only, the Monday nighter against Green Bay on that last-second finish. We all know. We saw it. We're still talking about it. Some of us are not really talking about it now, but I guarantee you, come week 15 through week 17, if the Seahawks, let's say the Seahawks barely get in and they beat out a bunch of other teams, we're all going to know why they got in. It's because of that Monday night game against Green Bay, where technically they should not have won that game. And that was the game that brought back the regular officials as quickly as possible, and the timing was perfect. But still, let's say on the flip side, Green Bay falls one game out of first place in their division, but yet they have a better conference record than whoever finishes in first place. Or they're trying to compete for a wild card spot, and they don't get in, but yet they finish with the winning record. Could you imagine how crazy this is going to be? We're hoping that doesn't happen, but it'll be messed up in this particular case just because of how that outcome was in that particular matchup. And just looking at that game and just seen that replay over and over again. People don't understand. I mean, it's tough. It is very tough to swallow that. And if you're a Packers fan, you have every right to still be upset about it. Now, Green Bay has been coming around nicely. They've won 4 in a row after having a 2-3 record where a lot of people were ready to write them off the ship. They've won 4 in a row. They had that big win against Houston. They came off a big win against a tough Arizona defensive team. And it's funny because Aaron Rodgers didn't even complete 50% of his passes. He struggled to throw the ball a little bit, but they found a way to win. And they went up against the Arizona Cardinals team that is completely one-dimensional. Their offense is just flat. And it's a shame because they got one of the top three wideouts in the game, but they don't really have a quarterback that can get him the ball. And their running game has been a tremendous disappointment, and their offensive line is still having trouble blocking. If you take Larry Fitzgerald off this team, their offense is completely pathetic. And it's as simple as that, because luckily for him, on that side of the ball, he gives you a great chance to win. You got to get the ball in his hands, but he's capable of doing that. He's capable of making the big plays and the tough catches. Now, going back to Green Bay, Clay Matthews is actually going to be out for the next couple weeks. He's expected to be out the next couple weeks just because of his injury. Charles Woodson, he's out right now. Greg Jennings is still beat up. Jordy Nelson, he did not play this past weekend. He got hurt 2 weeks ago against Jacksonville. So that really doesn't help the Packers, but this is a team that they always find ways to win games with some of the players that they have. So as far as I'm concerned, I think that Green Bay is still a team that's got to be reckoned with. They're still going to be tough down the stretch, and they're still a team that's going to be just looking to try and ride the ship a little bit. I have to say, with some of these teams that are sort of stepping up their game a little bit, let's look at the bigger picture here. We have a chance to see some rookie quarterbacks get playoff spots this year. Andrew Luck in Indy, Ryan Tannehill in Miami, Russell Wilson in Seattle, and even RG3 in Washington, despite losing a tough game this past week to Carolina. But you got to give these coaches more credit than they deserve, because these guys get these young rookies prepared. And they're doing it so well, honestly, because these rookies look so comfortable at times. So give them credit. Give them all the credit in the world. And I will do that. I will definitely do that. So we actually have some news. We got some sports news right now, some NFL news. Basically, Jake Locker, he's expected to start for the Tennessee Titans as they go up against the Dolphins this upcoming Sunday. The Jets are going to be going up against the Seahawks. That's going to be a very tough game. Rex Ryan will be going up against Pete Carroll. That's going to be an interesting coaching matchup between those two different personalities. You got a rah-rah guy against a guy that just runs his mouth, period. So that's going to be big news. We got some news coming out of San Diego, which involves a lot of money. The NFL has fined the San Diego Chargers $20,000 because one of their members of their equipment staff apparently failed to surrender tiles in order to do so by a game official against the Broncos in that Monday night debacle back on October 15th last month. The NFL said in a statement today that after investigating the Chargers' use of tiles that included an adhesive substance, it was determined that the team did not violate any rules. Now, after consulting with the competition committee, the league said it has advised all clubs that the use of tiles or any other products whatsoever that contain any type of adhesive substance is prohibited on game days until further notice. Now, the team is also expected to appeal the fine. And head coach North Turner has expressed disappointment regarding this particular situation. Now, in a statement, the team said that they are appealing a fine because their staff member was unaware that the game official was trying to get his attention, and he cooperated fully once he became unaware. Which is kind of like, okay, yeah, wow, that's a lot of money, a lot of money, right on, yeah. Wow, that's one of those news that just makes you laugh a little bit because you're like, okay, well, what's up with that? Well, going back to Chuck Pagano, some of the players on the Indianapolis Colts roster, including quarterback Andrew Luck, are shaving their heads to support their head coach who has been diagnosed with leukemia. For those of you who are unaware of leukemia, it's a head disease which affects the scalp. We've had a lot of people die from this particular disease, which relates to head cancer. It happened to former actress and beauty star Farrah Fawcett, who died 3 years ago due to complications from that related type of illness. And that's good for the team. This team is really, really amazing, if you think about it, with what they've been able to do. I had ridiculed them last year. I thought they was going to go 0-16. I thought they were going to do what the Lions did back in 2008. They started to turn it up a little bit towards the end of the year. And again, they won a couple games, and there was really no expectations for this team. However, no one expected Andrew Luck to be this good. We knew it was going to take maybe some time, but we didn't think that this team was going to be good. So I have to give them much credit. I think if they do make the playoffs, Chuck Pagano should be the head coach of the year. You can make a case for Mike Smith of Atlanta because of their undefeated start. You can always make a case for Tom Coughlin in New York because of, you know, the Giants, you know, winning games right now, having a 6-2 record and basically, 6-2 or 6-3 record, and basically continuing to win games and you know, playing like the defending champs that they are. You can certainly make a case for Bill Belichick in New England. You can make a case for both Harbaugh brothers because they're both of their teams as of now are in first place in their divisions. But to me, I'm pulling for Chuck Pagano. I hope that the Colts win enough games to make the playoffs. That way he'll win it. I think it's truly deserving. And I hope that that they pull it off and that he gets a chance to do that because that'll be great. It'll be great for the league and it'll be a big news because of what this franchise has gone through within the past year. Going to one team that has a chance to do something to a couple of teams who really don't have a chance to do nothing. Now, before I get to these two teams real quickly, I'm going to take this opportunity to announce these upcoming matches. Like I said, tomorrow we've got a game between the Colts and Jaguars. I'm taking the Colts to win that game. The Jaguars are just in disarray right now, and they're a complete mess right now. And to me, Justin Blackmon, their rookie wide receiver, might be the most disappointing first-year players out of all the rookies this year. He might be the most disappointing. Expectations were high on this kid, too, and he hasn't exactly lived up to expectations so far this season. This upcoming weekend, we got Detroit and Minnesota. We got Atlanta and New Orleans. Giants and Cincinnati. Oakland and Baltimore. Buffalo, New England. Tennessee and Miami, I had announced that already. San Diego and Tampa Bay. What makes that game interesting is Vincent Jackson will be facing his former team. They pretty much were willing to part ways with him. They decided to move on. Both parties did. Vincent Jackson found a new town, a new home in Tampa, and he's going to get a chance to go up against his former team, who's in also in complete disarray right now. Denver and Carolina. The last time those two teams had faced off, Denver was in a complete meltdown, They got off to a great start a few years ago and lost the rest of the way, didn't even make the playoffs. And one of their losses down the stretch was to the Carolina team. So Denver will get a chance to exact some revenge. the Jets and Seattle, there's some history between these two teams a little bit. Going back to that 1998 game where Vinny Testaverde, the Jets, tried to go for a quarterback sneak, was well short of the goal line. They caught a touchdown, which in the end costed the Seahawks a chance to compete for a wild card spot, despite getting out to a 3-0 start that year. And it also costed their then head coach, Dennis Erickson, his job, who got fired after that season was over. Seahawks have a chance to exact some revenge on the Jets. And Pete Carroll, he knows about going up against the Jets. He's gone up against the Jets a few times in his career as the coach of the Patriots back in the 90s. He also coached the Jets back in 1994. And he was best known at that time as the coach of that Jets team that gone up against Dan Marino and the Dolphins, had a game against them where Dan Marino went for that classic fake spike, threw it towards the end zone. One of the receivers caught the touchdown pass. And that game pretty much took the Jets on a sunken ship, unfortunately. And then it carried over into the next two seasons where they won a combined four games within a two-year span until Bill Parcells took over the team in 97 and guided them a year later to the postseason. So there's some interesting history between those two teams. St. Louis and San Francisco, Dallas and Philadelphia, and I'm going to get to that game in a minute. Houston and Chicago, I'm also going to talk more about that game just a bit. And the Monday night game, that's a Sunday night game too, by the way, the Texans and Bears. And the Monday night game, Kansas City and Pittsburgh, and that should be an easy win for the Steelers. For the Chiefs, they really don't know who their quarterback is going to be. Their quarterbacks have been getting knocked around far too much this season. Pittsburgh's on the roll. Like I said, they won three straight. They're trying to catch Baltimore for first place in the AFC North. I think they will catch them and surpass them eventually just because I think that their offense is a little more in sync right now. And even though some of their defensive players have been struggling a little bit, for whatever reason, they got some players on that team. Their defense is still playing good. Still playing good football. And we'll see what happens with this game and when Baltimore and Pittsburgh eventually do tangle. Now, going back to this Dallas and Philadelphia game, I got a chance to watch ESPN's First Take this morning. I was cracking up at some of those guys. They're always cracking me up. And Bill Romanowski had some funny things to say. But when it came time to talk about the Eagles and Cowboys game, the guys talked about basically who needed to win this game more. And some of those guys said the Eagles need to win. I'm going to say the exact same thing. I think that if Philadelphia wins this game, they can salvage their season. I think that even if Dallas does lose this game, they still have a chance to right the ship a little bit. They're not in that bad of shape as the Eagles are. At least Tony Romo is not taking a big beating like Michael Vick is almost every time he's on the football field. Now, that being said, the amount of talent is kind of the same a little bit. I give Dallas the edge a little bit on the defense because they got DeMarcus Ware, they got Jay Ratliff, just slightly better players on that side of the ball compared to Philadelphia. Both teams, their wide receivers in terms of talent are just about the same, kind of neck and neck a little bit. I think that this game will be played in Philadelphia, so this is a game the Eagles should win. They've had the Cowboys number at home for many years now, going back to the McNabb days and when he eventually took over as the starting quarterback in the year 2000. I just think that Philadelphia needs to right the ship now. It's not too late. It's not too late at all. It's not too late. They can right things here, but it has to start this weekend. They got to win this game. And I'm going to give Philadelphia the edge just for the simple fact that, like I said, they've had the Cowboys' number at home. They need to win this game. Dallas is in a bit disarray, too. But if you think about it, this is a game that could go either way. But the Eagles need to win this game more because they're in worse shape. Their quarterback is in worse shape compared to Dallas's quarterback, and their head coach is in much worse shape compared to Dallas's head coach. This is a game that the Eagles need to win. This is a game they have to win, and this is a game they should win. So I'm going to take the Eagles to pull it off and hopefully pull it off well. That means winning the game and protecting their quarterback, Michael Vick. The Bears and Texans. Well, the Texans and Bears game will be played in Chicago. It's the night game. It'll be on NBC this Sunday night. I like both teams, but let's hush this talk about this being a Super Bowl matchup, because I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that Chicago is that good enough to get to the Super Bowl. If your defense is scoring more points than your offense is, that's a little bit of a problem, because this is going back to the same Bears team that went to the Super Bowl in 2006, how their defense was playing well and their defensive special teams were scoring as much as their offense and maybe more in a lot of their games, and they were one-dimensional basically from 05 to 06, the 2 years that they were in the postseason. And even a couple years ago, when they went to the NFC Championship game against Green Bay. To me, they're going up against a Texans team that is fierce, even though they don't have D'Amico Ryans no more, Mario Williams, they moved on this offseason. They don't have Brian Cushing for the rest of the season. This Texans team is for real. They still have other quality pieces on that side of the football. And they still got a good offense. They got Matt Schaub. They got Andrew Johnson, one of the top three wide receivers in the game. They got Aaron Foster, who to me is the best running back in the game. And I think that if the Bears are going to have a shot, they're going to have to score some points. They're going to have to try and match Houston's offense, because I think Houston's offense is capable of scoring a lot of points. And I think for sure they can go into Soldier Field, beat the Bears. Seriously, I think they can do that. I really think they can do that. This will be one of the top matchups of the week. It'll be a game I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm going to take the Texans just for the simple fact I think that they have a shot to really, really do it. I like the way that they're playing football. Yes, they had their only loss at home to Green Bay, but Chicago's offense isn't as good as Green Bay's offense. Let's just be honest about that, okay? And I also think that the Texans have something to prove. They need to prove to the NFL that they can go and win a big game like this. Because keep in mind, this schedule is about to get a little tougher. They got this game this weekend against Chicago. They got a Thanksgiving matchup against Detroit. They still got to play the Colts twice. They got another game against Tennessee. So they got some tough games down the stretch, some very tough games. So point being, they need to win this Sunday. And this will be a very interesting game because of the scenarios in both teams' style of play. So I'll be paying attention to both of those games and both of those teams. My team, the Detroit Lions against the Minnesota Vikings, well, I think this is a game that can go either way, just about. Now, this is a game that Detroit will be looking to avenge since their earlier season loss to where Minnesota came in and scored two touchdowns, both on a punt return and both on a kickoff return, which is the opening score of that game. Both teams have changed a lot since that game. Now, even though Detroit's in fourth place right now with a 4-4 record, if they win this game, they'll have a chance to move over Minnesota, who's 5-4, and be over 500 for the first time since the season opener, since beating St. Louis in week one. Since that game, since that loss, since the last meeting between Detroit and Minnesota, Detroit has won 3 of their past 4 games. And most of those wins were on the road. They had a big win at Philadelphia. They came off a big win over Jacksonville. They also had a home win over Seattle. Now, if you're Detroit and their fans, including me, you should be happy, because now that they've played a lot of their games on the road, the majority of the schedule so far up to this point, most of their games are going to be at home. They got this game against Minnesota, and then after that, they come home for 3 straight against Green Bay, Houston on Thanksgiving, and Indianapolis. Now, those games are not going to be easy. Trust me, all 3 of those teams are tough and will play Detroit tough. But, again, just the simple fact that they got a lot of home games coming up the rest of the way should help out a little bit, especially if they protect home field and win those games they need to win to kind of salvage things and jump kick things off going towards competing for a playoff spot. Now, on the flip side, Minnesota has lost 3 of their last 4 games. 2 weeks ago, they got whooped I mean, annihilated at home by Tampa Bay. That game wasn't even close at the end. And then they came off a tough loss to Seattle this past weekend. Now, for Minnesota, they still have two games against Green Bay, just like Detroit does. However, they still got to play two games against Chicago, which is going to be tough. And their schedule in the second half of the season is going to be very difficult for them to win. So that being said, Minnesota needs to win this game this Sunday to kind of cushion their record a little bit to be at 6-4, which would be the record they'll have if they win this upcoming Sunday. Now, they're going to get a different Detroit team coming to town. It won't be the same Detroit team that they faced earlier this season. This will be a different Detroit team whose running game has really come on, obviously, because they scored 4 rushing touchdowns against Jacksonville this past Sunday. 3-by-1 player, Mikel Lashier, their starting running back, who also gave birth to his newborn son, by the way, so congratulations to him. That's phenomenal. That will inspire any player to play and play his best that he can play. Him and Joy Bell combined for nearly 150 rushing yards between them. They both ran for over 70 yards each. Bell had 70 yards, and Lashier had 73. So Detroit ran for 149 rush yards against the Jacksonville Jaguars this past Sunday. And if Detroit can have that element to their game with the combination of their passing game, you know, with Calvin Johnson and Tyus Young, and now Ryan Borials, their rookie wide receiver, their top draft pick, who has really emerged as one of the top playmakers. You add that to your game, not to mention the tight ends of Pettigrew and Scheffler. This is going to be probably the most dangerous team in the NFC down the stretch. A sleeper team, but a dangerous team. So that's a team that you need to be on the lookout for. I'm going to take Detroit to win just for the simple fact that I feel like this is a game they need to win. Even though they're 2-3 on the road, Minnesota's 4-1 at home, but they lost their last home game. They were 4-0 up until that debacle against Tampa Bay. But Detroit has won 2 in a row. Minnesota has lost 2 in a row. This is a game that Detroit needs to win. And it's a disappointment how Christian Ponder has gotten off to a good start, but has struggled in recent weeks. It's unbelievable. I think about some of these sophomore quarterbacks with him, his struggles, Cam Newton struggles and Andy Dalton struggles. It's just unbelievable how these sophomore quarterbacks are struggling. Unbelievable. Very unbelievable. I'm just shell-shocked, very shell-shocked. But we will see what these teams do, and this will be a good matchup, as always, with these two teams in the Norris Division. So good luck to both teams this upcoming Sunday. Another divisional matchup we got, is the undefeated Falcons, 8-0, traveling to the Superdome to play a 3-5 desperate Saints team. Now, according to the NFL, head coach Sean Payton, the NFL basically avoided part of his contract, which will make him a free agent head coach after this season. Now, the Saints are trying to renegotiate a contract that will extend his contract beyond this season and keep him here in New Orleans. And keep him from possibly coaching a Dallas Cowboys team that rumors have speculated have been in talks of, possibly trying to land Sean Payton next year because of his past history there as a former assistant and disciple under Bill Parcells. But going back to the game, Atlanta, they're 8-0. They came off a tough win over Dallas last week. A lot of people are not necessarily buying the Falcons because they have yet to show that they can really, really win the big games when they need to. And that includes the postseason games. Now, Matt Ryan and Mike Smith, as starting quarterback and starting and head coach, are yet to win a postseason game. They're both 0-3 in that particular situation. They've had playoff losses to Arizona back in 2008. Whooping the Green Bay a couple years ago, and then last year just an embarrassment to the Giants, in which they only scored 2 points. So they need to win this game and send a statement and send a message. Now, this will be the first of two matches between these two teams, and any time the Falcons and Saints get together, it's always a good high-scoring game, and both games last year were not disappointments in that category. It's always a great matchup to see Matt Ryan go up against Drew Brees. It's always phenomenal to watch those matchups, to see the two of the best offenses in the league go up against each other. Now, to me, I'm gonna go on the flip side. I'm gonna take the Saints to pull off the upset, and I'll tell you why. If anyone has the formula to beat the Falcons, it's the Saints. Seriously. Think about it. For starters, the Saints have had the Falcons' number over the years. These two teams really know how to beat each other. But the Saints right now, out of all the teams that Atlanta has faced up to this point, the Saints have the formula to knowing how to beat the Falcons. And I think Atlanta's undefeated streak is going to come to an end this upcoming weekend. This is a game the Saints need to win. They came off a big win over Philadelphia. They're going to be against a much better Atlanta team, but I think that if the Saints can win and protect home field, and this game is going to be on one of those popular games between two teams who know how to put points on the board, two teams who can score, two teams whose defenses are kind of question mark. The Saints coming into to this game with the 32nd ranked defense, just horrendous. But when they have the football, when Drew Brees is on the field, and he's controlling the game, and he's managing the game and doing what he has to do, he's tough. He's tough. And it's always tough to keep that team off the football field, especially that offense. I'm going to take the Saints to pull off the upset. I'm going to take the Saints to win this game. I think it's going to be an upset. I also think that this is a game that the Saints desperately need to win, because if they lose, you're talking about them going down with a 3-6 record and possibly not even making the playoffs. And basically, the playoff run will come to an end. So, so we will see what happens between these two teams. But again, it's always a great matchup to see those two teams get together. We also got the Giants going up against the Bengals. I'm going to pick the Giants to win this one, obviously, because Cincinnati, to me, might be the most disappointing team in the AFC. And getting back on that particular set real quickly, because of the expectation that they had last year, they made the playoffs despite being swept in two games by both the Steelers and the Ravens. They were still able to make the postseason. And expectations were even higher on this team this season. To me, they're the most disappointing team in the AFC, and I just think that their defense really needs to tighten things up, because their defense was playing so good last year, and their offense was very, very good as well and very explosive. To me, the most disappointing team in the NFC, as far as I'm concerned, I would have to say it's a toss-up between the Eagles and Cowboys. And I'll get to that matchup in just, you already heard me talk about the matchup, but I want to get more into that matchup in just a moment. I'm going to take the Giants to beat Cincinnati. The Giants were in control of that NFC East division. They're in control of their own destiny as far as I'm concerned. And I think that they're in the driver's seat as far as I'm concerned. I think they'll win that game, and they'll go on and win many more and eventually win the NFC East and probably get a high seed, maybe one or two behind Atlanta, or compete with San Francisco. Technically, they own a tiebreak over San Francisco because they beat them. So if you're the Giants, you're feeling pretty good about yourself, but you feel like you can go anywhere and win. So they're not fazed, and they shouldn't be. They really shouldn't be. So kudos to them as far as I'm concerned. And we will see what this team can do and other aspirations that they have to do in order to win this game. But the Giants will win. I expect them to win. I think this is going to be a shootout a little bit, but in the end, I expect the Giants to win this game. To me, another matchup is the Oakland Raiders, who are 3-5, against the Baltimore Ravens, who are 6-2. I'm taking Baltimore to win this game. because the Raiders have been a flat-out disappointment as well. Al Davis has passed on, but I'm pretty sure he's rolling over his grave as we speak. The Ravens, they still have a lot to prove. And they can prove to the rest of it that they can win without Ray Lewis the rest of the season by going on a winning streak and eventually winning the AFC North if they can hang on to the division over Pittsburgh, who's creeping up on them a little bit. Keep in mind, like I said earlier, these two teams have not faced off each other yet. Oakland's in complete disarray right now. And I think that at this point in the season, if they lose this game, they can pretty much kiss the playoffs goodbye too, unfortunately, but that's just the way it's looking right now. But I got Baltimore winning that game, and I got them winning that game big. Another matchup will be a divisional matchup now. It will be a 3-5 Buffalo, 5-3 New England. Now, just a couple weeks ago, it's funny, all four teams were tied in first place in the division in that AFC in that AFC East. It was a complete mess. This game will be played at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The Patriots are looking for a 12th straight home win in the series and a 23rd victory in the last 25 meetings overall. That's how you shut down somebody, really. The last time the Bills were beating the Patriots consistently was when Doug Flutie was Buffalo's quarterback in the late 90s and the early 2000s. Tom Brady, as a starter, is 19-2 against Buffalo all time, completing 65.3% of his passes for 5,170 yards, 49 touchdowns against any team with a 103.4 passer rating. Now, these two teams face off each other back on September 30th. New England was facing a 21-7 deficit in the third quarter, but Brady, being Brady, came back, threw for 199 yards in the second half of that game and three touchdowns, which led to a 52-28 beatdown. Yes, that was a beatdown. An embarrassment because it happened on Buffalo's field. Anytime you give up that many points, that's an embarrassment to get whooped like that and get annihilated like that. Just embarrassing, very embarrassing. But I'm going to take New England to win, and they'll continue their dominance over Buffalo. And it looks like they'll have their Buffalo's number as the season goes on. Buffalo's another one of those disappointing teams that they brought in Mario Williams, they brought in a few other key players, and so far so good. They haven't exactly lived up to expectations, but it's not just the defense. It's just the whole team overall, and they need to turn it around. They might not be able to do it this upcoming weekend, but they certainly have a chance to right the ship a little bit because they're not out of the playoff race either. They're still alive, and it's still a young season, but we're about to reach the halfway point. We see teams really play their best, so we'll see if this team can really play their best football. 3-6 Tennessee at 4-4 Miami. I'm going to take the Dolphins to win that game. The Dolphins have been one of those teams that have kind of been up and down a little bit, but they're tough. They got a good defense. Their defense has been performing exceptionally well, and they're going to be against a tough Tennessee team that's kind of beat up a little bit on offense. Jake Locker will get the start. He hasn't played in a few weeks, but he will get the start this Sunday. But despite that, I still think that the Dolphins are going to win this game just for the simple fact that their defense is tough. Reggie Bush came off an outstanding performance. To me, that was one of his best games he played as a Miami Dolphin last weekend. He had an incredible touchdown run against the Colts in a losing effort, but he looked good. He looked good. I expect him to continue to wreak some havoc over the Tennessee Titans, and I also think that Miami will win this game and win going away. Chargers and Buccaneers, I'm sorry. Well, this storyline is interesting. Vincent Jackson will be going up against his former team that he spent most of his career against. He played well. Vincent Jackson has played well in San Diego. He played well these past few weeks with Tampa. He's coming around, working his way into the system a little bit. So, yes, this is a game that the Chargers need to win. You know, they're 4-4 now, and they could easily be competing with Denver for first place. Now, they're in second place. They got a 4-2 record. They got a 3-1 division record. They've won their last game, but still, they're still struggling. They're still struggling. And to me, that Denver game is going to come back to haunt them eventually. And losing that Cleveland game a couple weeks ago is going to come back to haunt them as well. But Chargers can win. This game, they got a 2-2 road record. The Buccaneers have a 2-2 home record. This is a game that could go either way. I'm going to take Tampa just for the simple fact that Doug Martin has really come on. It's really come on. Now, they've won two straight, this Buccaneers team, and nobody wasn't expecting that to happen. But one thing that I've noticed from this team, they are playing tough. Much compared to last year, they are playing tougher football. There are times where they kind of remind you of the Bucs of old a little bit. You know, when it was a playoff team and it was making their Super Bowl run, they just look tough again. They look real tough again. Now, if Josh Freeman can continue to play better, there's no telling what this team can do. There's no telling. But I'm going to take the Buccaneers to win this game. Should be a close game, but I'm going to take them to win. And it'll be interesting to see how well Vincent Jackson performs against his former team. 5-3 Denver at 2-6 Carolina. This is a game that the Broncos should win in a blowout. No disrespect to the Panthers, I'm sorry. But Peyton Manning, to me, right now is the MVP of the first half of the regular season as far as the AFC is concerned. To me, I have three candidates right now, three legitimate candidates to be MVP. Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, and Matt Ryan. I think those three teams are MVP candidates. If you want to throw in a couple more to make it a top five, you could say Matt Schaub of the Texans, and you still got to talk about Aaron Rodgers, you know, with the way that Green Bay is coming on, you still got to talk about them, but to me, it's going to come down to either Peyton Manning or Matt Ryan as far as the MVP voting is concerned, but Peyton Manning hasn't skipped a beat lately. He is just on a roll right now. He is on a roll. Last week, in that game against that tough matchup against Cincinnati, the Broncos came back and won 31-23, and Manning just looked like his old self. He actually came up 9 yards short of what would have been his sixth consecutive 300-yard passing game. He went 27-35 with, despite throwing two interceptions, he did throw three touchdowns, and he just looked like himself of old. For the first time since 2004, Peyton Manning has thrown three touchdown passes in five straight games. If he gets two more on Sunday, he'll surpass Dan Marino's total of 420 for second most in NFL history. Now, this year, he leads the NFL with the best 69.5 completion percentage, which is the best of his career, and a 108.6 quarterback rating. And he's on pace to throw for 40 or more touchdowns. So if you're guys like Eric Decker, Demaryius Thomas, their wide receiver tandem, you're happy. You're happy because your numbers are going to go up. And your value is going to go up, and your production is going to go up. Peyton Manning is hot right now. He's arguably the hottest quarterback in the NFL right now, and he should be because he's on a roll. I do not want to be the Panthers this weekend. Broncos, despite having a 2-2 road record, they won three straight. They're 1-1 against NFC opponents. This will be the first. This will be Carolina's. They're 2-6. I believe this actually be their first opponent in the AFC. This will be their first divisional opponent. So, yes. This will be their first divisional. This will be the first AFC opponent this year. And who better than Denver? Who better than Denver? Now, Cam Newton came off an impressive win against Washington. He did outplay RG3. Barely, a little bit. He got the win. He made the plays down the stretch, but he's not going up against RG3 this weekend. He's going up against Peyton Manning, who's arguably the best quarterback playing in the NFL right now because of his production. I'm going to take Denver, my other team. I'm going to take them. I'm going to take them winning big. Now, we also have another interesting matchup between the Jets and Seattle. Like I said, there's some history between these two teams. If you just look at the history, like I said, going back to that 1998 game with Vinny Testaverde, that controversial touchdown call, which wasn't a touchdown at all, the Jets have had Seattle's number. But I'm picking the Seahawks to win this game. This will be this will be the game that determines the Jets season. Everybody's talking about whether or not they should put in Tim Tebow over Mark Sanchez. Eventually, something's got to give. You got to figure out what you're going to do. And they need to figure it out quickly because they're going to be against a tough Seattle Seahawks team. So I'm going to take the Seahawks to win this game. I like the way Russell Wilson is playing right now. To me, he is my vote for NFC's Rookie of the Year. It could come down to him. It could come down to Doug Martin. It's going to be one of those two guys, RG3. But I like the way Russell Wilson is playing because his team has a winning record and his production is a little bit better. St. Louis and San Francisco, well, I like San Francisco in this game, and it's not even going to be close. No disrespect to the Rams, no disrespect to Jeff Fisher, but let's be honest, San Francisco, they're a Super Bowl caliber team right now, and St. Louis, they're not. But St. Louis can make it a game. They can challenge San Francisco, but it's going to be tough for them to do so. First of all, St. Louis is 0-3 on the road. They have not won a road game this season despite their 3-5 record. Some of their games have been close. However, they've lost three straight. San Francisco's 1-2 straight. They're 2-0 in their division. They already have a win against Seattle. They already have a win against Arizona. So I expect them to get a win over St. Louis and win pretty big. Now, the Kansas City and Pittsburgh game, same thing as far as Pittsburgh is concerned. I expect Pittsburgh to win big. And they will. The Chiefs are in complete disarray. Arguably between them and Jacksonville, they might be the two worst teams in the NFL, no question about it. And, yes, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for the Chiefs right now. I feel sorry for Romeo Crennel because he has to go through with this. But at the end of the day, you got to suit up and you got to get out there. Coaches got to coach and players got to play. Well, I expect Pittsburgh to win this game. Now, going back real quickly to that Philadelphia-Dallas game real quickly, I got to say, like I said earlier, whoever doesn't win this game, kiss the playoffs goodbye. Michael Vick, he's got a lot to prove, a lot to prove. And he needs to win this game for his team and for his head coach. Andy Reid needs to win this game for his football team. And the Eagles are going to be favored in this game because they're at home. This is a game they should win. But I would not be surprised if Dallas goes into that stadium and pull it off, right? We will see what happens with these two teams. It's going to be a tough game. It's always tough between these two teams. So, yes, but I'm pulling for Philadelphia. I'm picking them to win this game. I think they will win, and it should be a close one, but a good one, but a good one. So that wraps up my NFL predictions. That wraps things up. So those are the teams I expect to win this weekend. Good luck to all your teams. We will see what happens. Some news to pass along in the NBA. Some scores real quickly. Phoenix are leading in Charlotte over the Bobcats, 85-79. That game's at the end of the third quarter. Washington and Boston are tied at 42 in the third quarter. Indiana is down 56-50 to the Hawks in Atlanta. That game's in the third quarter. Danny Granger is going to be out for quite some time. In fact, he might not play until 2013, which is unfortunate because expectations were high on this Pacers team. I'm going into the start of the regular season, and without their best player, their best shooter, it's going to hurt them a little bit. Actually, it's going to hurt them a whole lot. Brooklyn is down 50-41 to Miami. That game is at halftime. Denver is up in Houston 42-35. Both of those teams, good high-scoring teams. That game should come down to the wire. It's going to be a fun game. I'm pretty sure it already is. Orlando is down 29-22 to Minnesota. That game is in the second quarter. Memphis is leading big in Milwaukee 44-31. That game's in the second quarter. Philadelphia is up 27-25 over New Orleans. That game you can catch on ESPN right now as we speak. That game is in the second quarter. That game's now tied at 29. Just got a quick update. But you can watch that game on ESPN. And that's going to be an interesting game. Anthony Davis going to be against another young Philadelphia 76ers team. And Toronto, they're down to Dallas 21-14. That game is in the first quarter. That game has started off not too long ago. The Lakers and Utah are getting ready to tip off in about 10 minutes. So good luck to both teams. Detroit and Sacramento will be tipping off at 10 p.m. tonight. Cleveland and Golden State will be tipping off at 10:30. And San Antonio and the Clippers, the second game on the ESPN doubleheader, That game will air off at 10:30, and that'll be a rematch of last year's playoff matchup. Well, folks, that completes another installment of the Rocket Video Edition. Thank you to all who have been listening. Next Wednesday, we'll be back at it again. I want to say thank you, guys, to everyone who listens, to everyone who supports Rocket and all that he does and he accomplishes. Can't thank you enough. To my cast and crew, Goblin Lady, we are officially done with the film. The film will be out in March of 2013, so be on the lookout for that. Love Has a Mind of Its Own. We'll be filming this weekend. I want to send a special shout-out to my camera guy, Deion Robinson, to my cast and crewmates, Noel Fry, Elijah Alexander, Damian Fuller, Confidence Killian, Robert D. Thomas, and the rest of the castmates, Giles Key, Eric Palmer. Thank you guys for your contributions and continue to do what you do. So this is Christian Rocket Adams signing off. I will see you guys next week. Remember, folks, keep doing what you do because you're going to be blessed. Good luck to all your teams playing right now and tonight in the NBA. Good luck to the upcoming possible NHL season. We will see what happens with that. Good luck to all your Major League Baseball teams this offseason, making moves and doing things like that. Good luck to all your college basketball teams, your college football teams, your NFL teams this upcoming weekend. Let the games continue, folks. Let the games continue. Next week, same time as usual, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com. The Rocket Sports Breakdown is the name. Don't you forget it, and don't you forget Rocket, because he's coming. He's in full effect, doing what he does best, and rest assured, you're going to see him do some big things. So, as he signs off, this is Rocket saying, so long to you guys, to the Rocket Nation, and all the sports fans out there, get ready for a power trip. See you next Wednesday. Take care of yourselves now.